In Slichos, we've been saying Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachem, again and again and again and again. And we're going to continue saying it again and again, all the way through Ne'ilah. We're told, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us this trick, that reciting the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim invokes Hashem's mercy. Now we're also told, the Halachta Bedracha, we have a mitzvah to go in Hashem's ways, to copy His ways, copy His midos, emulate Hashem's midos. And that also, when we copy the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we copy His midos of Rachamim, that also invokes the mercy. It gets Hashem to use that very same quality that we try to inculcate within ourselves, gets Him to use that in His dealings with us as well. I want to talk to you about the first of the Yud Gimel Midos. Hashem, Hashem. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Hashem is before we do an Avera, and He's Hashem after we do an Avera, and lets us do Tshuva. Now, after we do an Avera, we understand very well that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim. We messed up. Hashem takes care of us. And what do? We ignore His wishes. We need His rachamim. The fact that He accepts our tshuva is amazing. And it's an amazing mercy that He shows on us, that He accepts our tshuva and says, yeah, I love you, you're back. Great. But before we do an avera, why do we need any rachamim before we do an avera? He says, Hashem, 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 before we do an Avera, Hashem, after we do an Avera. What rachamim do, what mercy do we need beforehand? But I think the pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so much of a desire to be close with us, so much of a desire for us to succeed, that not only after the fact, when we mess up, does He create a way that we could come back to Him. But He, from the get-go, He says, I'm ready for you to mess up. He created the whole world with a system so that we can fix our mistakes. He created a world expecting us to do averos. Like it says in Koheles, Ein tzadik bar tzasher yaseh tov lo yechta. There's no tzadik who doesn't do averos. He made the world knowing we would do things wrong. If you are embarrassed to admit they do averos, that's being embarrassed to admit you're human. Every single human being does averos. And Hashem, because He loves us so much, and He wants us to succeed, and He wants to be close with us, He made this entire system before we ever did anything wrong, before we even existed. He prepared it for us that it's ready even if we mess up, knowing that we would mess up when we mess up. Right? It's a very different perspective than I think a lot of us have when we're thinking about the averus we did, to say, oh yeah, Hashem knew I'm going to mess up. And Ramchal points out that Hashem made the world in a way that we could in the end not mess up at all. Because even the averus we do ends up becoming mitzvahs. Hashem made the world in this way, knowing we'd mess up, but we would then do tshuva, and now the tshuva propels us to even greater heights and makes it the averus caused us to reach those greater heights. So even the averus serve a good purpose. Everything in the end, Hashem made the system this way that everything we do could in the end be a positive, a net positive. We're at our last day of this special time of year when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekabel our tshuva. He wants the tshuva. Are we going to take advantage? I want to ask, how can we emulate this? How can we, maybe as part of our tshuva process, work on in an area that would get us to be more like Hashem in this way? Well, we can't create any worlds and invent tshuva, where in that world tshuva will now function. Can't do that. You could have a Minecraft world with events, put your shuls in Minecraft and say people come do tshuva. I don't know. That's not how we're going to emulate Hashem, this first midah. But I think that we very much could look at this and see that there are flaws in our interactions, that we could improve and put on a much higher madriga and copying Hashem in this way. It has an extreme contrast. You could be like President Trump. If somebody punches, I punch back. I'm always ready to punch back. You know, or you could be like downtown Baltimore. If somebody looks at somebody the wrong way, they shoot them. Always ready to defend my honor. You say, look at me sideways? How dare you? Or you could be someone who's not always ready and waiting to pounce on every person who looks at you the wrong way. Even before somebody looks at you the wrong way, your entire demeanor, your entire approach and perspective on fellow humans is that you're understanding, that you greet people with a warmth, with a calmness, with a desire to be close with fellow Yidden. You want to succeed in your relationship with fellow Yidden. You want to have a loving relationship with fellow Jews, like the desire Hashem has for us. So much so that you're always ready. Before anything goes wrong, you are just a person, when you greet people, they can sense that you want to be close to them and you're ready to be understanding. And if they mess up, they know you'll be understanding. People make mistakes. You'll have faith in them that they're going to fix it, that they're going to, things will go better. When you do something wrong to your parents, they know that you're going to do things wrong to them. They know you're going to be disrespectful at times. I mean, you can't be, and you got to do tshuva for it. But parents live on with the assumption that these things happen. And I think you know that, and you feel that. And you feel safe. And you feel loved. Just knowing that your parents are ready to be forgiving. That they will be forgiving. You could be someone who exudes that. It's that people meet you, they know that you're not someone who's judging every little thing they do and holding it against them. And if you mess up, I'm going to hold it against you. If you do something wrong to me, I'm never going to forget. This guy, if I do something wrong, I'm walking on eggshells around. If I do something wrong, he's going to, you know, that's going to be the end of our relationship. And definitely are a lot of people who, you know, you're more cautious around. You have to be careful how you talk, what you do. And there are people you know you could relax because they like you. They want to be close with you. Do you give the impression to your friends? And more importantly, do you give them the impression to people who are not your friends that you want to be close with them? You want to love them. You want to have a good relationship. You don't want to hold things against them. This guy, 3 years ago, he did this to me. And I said, I've heard this. I've had boys tell me that I have a difficult relationship with somebody because a bunch of years earlier, when I was in elementary school, the kid did this and this mean thing to me. Are you someone who's going to look for faults and hold on to the faults, or are you somebody who's looking to have a positive relationship? I would urge us to work on this. Everyone should pick things that they find, speak to them, and work on things for them. But if this is something that you think you could work on and excel at, to try to greet people not being so judgmental, not being so difficult, not being so, I'm going to hold it against you if you do anything wrong to me. Oh, you're weird. I don't like you. You do these things that bother me. Stay away from me. You're accepting. You want to get along. You're not being negative, judgmental, holding things against people. Now, looking back at the peak of COVID and the things that COVID forced us to do, it forced us to make lots of changes back when it was really bad. Families couldn't get together for simchos. at my son's bar mitzvah, we had almost no relatives there, almost nobody there at all. Shuls, yeshivas were disbanded, chavrusas, they were learning together over the phone. Shaduchim became even more complicated than they already are. It seems likely that among the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu perhaps wants us to take away from all the COVID tsaras of being separated from each other is to value our achdus, to value our ava for fellow Jews, to value our desire to be close with each other, to value our ability to be together, to try to wipe away things that divide us, to try to overcome things that keep us from feeling close with one another. I just heard something horrible from my wife. It really made me very sad. You know, COVID kept us so apart. And the lesson should be that we're going to try to overcome the things that keep us apart. She told me that she was trying to make a shidduch and couldn't make a shidduch. She couldn't make a shidduch because somebody said, my son cannot go out with that young lady, or any young lady, who got the vaccine. Won't let their son go out with people who are vaccinated.
Now I know why you're saying that.
All right. Leaving the insanity aside. So we were ripped apart because of COVID. We were forced to be divided. And now some people choose to make that division so firm, so concrete, that we won't intermarry if we have different views about COVID, about vaccinations. People have created a whole new set of reasons to remain divided forever and ever after. Reasons from COVID, where we were forced to be ripped apart, where we should have sat and said, wow, we want to be together again. Well, they're killing people. Yeah, well, they're killing people. Yeah, Beisham Beis Hillel, Gemara in Yevamah says, Beisham Beis Hillel had fundamental disagreements about matters that had ramifications, nafka minas, that were very, very important. Their disagreements could be a question of whether or not somebody was a mamzer. Somebody would be considered a mamzer. Very significant disagreements. And even so, the Chazal say that Beisham and Beis Hillel did not hesitate to marry each other. The sons of one of Beisham married the daughters of Beis Hillel, the sons of Beis, and vice versa. Why? Because ha'emes v'hashalom ehavu. Because we're told you need to love emes and shalom and peace. You know, we could have our firmly held beliefs, but when it comes to dealing with fellow Yidden, it doesn't affect how we feel about each other. We love each other. You're a fellow Jew. But this is so important. Beisham and Beis Hillel were having arguments that was a question of mamzerus. Okay, it doesn't get too much more important than that. And they still had chasanas together, danced together. Can we work on our looking at fellow Jews, not judgmentally, not saying, but I view this a certain way and you're wrong. But you're chasidish, but you're Lubavitch, but you're yeshivish, but you're modern, but you're the... Can we stop looking at people and saying, but I'm this way, but you're that way? Can we just look at people and say, I love you, you're my fellow Jew. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be close with you. And maybe in the schus of looking at fellow Jews with a desire to love them and a desire to be close to them, maybe in that schus of emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's first midah of rachamim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's whole approach is a desire to be close and a readiness to work out our differences so that we can be close. Maybe the schus of our doing that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also use that same midah, that same quality. And this Yom Kippur, when we come to him and we do tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu will say, I was ready for you. This is what I wanted. I'm here for you. Let's look around the room. Look around at our friends. And look and say there's not a single person here who I don't want to be close to. They're fellow Jews. A neshama, a Yiddish neshama who I love, who I share a mission to along with that, every person here, to bring Mashiach, to bring Ruchnius into the world. Every person here. I love every person here. I want to be close to every person here. I'm not holding anything against any person here. I mochel every person here, even before they ask me for tshuva, for mechila. I mochel every person because I just want to have a good relationship with fellow Jews, with fellow children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.